You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making this part of your regular routine. We're here at Summer League, Las Vegas, Nevada. The Celtics have gone through their first three preliminary stage games, and now they are in the quote-unquote playoffs. I'm making the air quotes with my fingers because, you know, whatever. It is what it is. The NBA has created this big, massive 30-team thing, and they're doing a tournament, and it should be fun. I'm John Corrales here by myself because me, Jay, Sam have had trouble connecting for a podcast because we're all running around doing our thing, working and writing and all of that. So I am here today to bring you stuff from Brad Stevens, Semi Ojeleye. They've all been speaking, and I'm going to talk about what they've been saying, let you listen to what they've been saying, because there's some interesting stuff coming out of that. Brad Stevens talked to the media a couple days ago and gave us updates on the development of guys, Gershon Yabusele, Semi Ojeleye, Aaron Baines. He talked about Marcus Smart. So I'm going to let you listen to what Brad Stevens has been saying and then react to that, just so you can get a taste of what Summer League is about and what Brad Stevens is thinking. So let's start with the thought of what Summer League is, because you're watching these games at home and you're seeing guys maybe not perform like you think they would have. And I was expecting things like, I was expecting Semi Ojeleye to come in and just be dominant, but he hasn't been. And I think part of it is because he's been trying to work on specific aspects of his game. He's not just coming in here trying to play and just go out there and play basketball. He's actually trying to build on his skill set and do more with his game. So first, let's start with Brad Stevens trying to explain what I'm talking about here on what guys are trying to get out of Summer League.
You know, you're looking for growth, but you know, a lot of times in these games, guys do things or are asked to do things they may not do in an NBA game or be looked at to do. So you take some of the things with a grain of salt, but you're looking for strides and improvement in the right areas.
This is where my analogy of a spring training pitcher working on his curveball and throwing his curveball in a bunch of different situations and just getting rocked, and it looks like, oh my God, this guy's just getting crushed by the opponents, and it's not because he sucks, it's because he's working on something. And we don't know if some of these guys, maybe they do suck, but they are working on things. And one of those guys, like I said before, is Semi Ojeleye. And Semi is trying to work on different aspects of his game defensively and offensively. So Brad Stevens addressed that, and I'm going to play Brad's comments and then Semi Ojeleye's comments right after that on what he's trying to improve.
Well, we've talked to Semi about just being even more versatile defensively. You know, his ability defensively to keep the ball in front of him is excellent. It's the highest level. And now it's being able to get into people's airspace and do that. And then on the other end of the floor, it's just continuing to be most comfortable playing off of people and knowing when to attack. You know, we were talking yesterday after they shot around that you know, sometimes that's a little bit more difficult when you're not playing with some of the guys that take all the attention that our guys do, you know, on the Celtics team in the winter. So I think he's doing a good job. I'm a big Semi guy.
I think defensively just being, you know, I think more impactful. That's what Coach said, is just, you know, trying to pressure the ball and, you know, make big plays and communicate on defense. And offensively just being more of a threat. You know, I think last year I just focused on defense, and offensively kind of just kind of stood in the corner. But I think this year, you know, if I can take the right shots, you know, be aggressive, and you know, hopefully make the right passes or just the right decisions, and that'll help me out.
Working on driving more aggressively.
For sure, for sure.
I think with Shemmy, that's going to be the big thing for him offensively, is being able to put the ball on the floor. He talked about a lot about standing in the corner last season, and, you know, that's what they needed him to do, and they may need him to do that again. But the second unit could really use a guy to score the ball a little bit more easily, and Shemmy might be one of the guys who does that. If he can facilitate a little bit, if he can put the ball on the floor and drive, and that will probably make him a little bit more of an effective shooter. And he struggled with his shot. I believe in his shot. I think it can come around. We've seen it fall in summer league before. And I think if he's got the confidence to shoot it, he'll be able to start making those at least at a reasonable clip. I don't think he's going to be a bad shooter forever. I could be wrong, but I believe in Ojale being an improved shooter, and it looks like he's trying to become a more dynamic offensive player. You see him driving a little bit more, passing a little bit more in the summer league with mixed results, but you know, we'll see how that goes. And defensively, he's going to be a guy that they count on defensively. You heard Brad Stevens say he's a big Shemmy guy, and you can see why. He can move his feet. If he can get in people's airspace without fouling, if he can really challenge shots and be a good ball stopper, then he'll be a very important part of the team next year. And especially if Marcus Smart doesn't come back. And at some point, Marcus Smart may not be here, whether it's one season, two seasons from now, and they may need a guy like Ojale to be a versatile type of defender that can pick up on guards and pick up on bigs like Marcus Smart can do. Obviously, nobody is Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's just his own unique animal. But the Celtics are going to need something from somebody to replace Marcus Smart if and when he leaves. And I think Ojale could be that guy. Also in this is a little on Gershon Yabusele. Yabu is out here working on things just like Shemmy is, trying to add things to his game. And I talked to him, and he is talking about improving his overall game. Let's get back to Brad Stevens on what Gershon Yabusele needs to do.
I think Gershon, I've always said that Gershon's greatest strength is his ability to see the game and make plays for others. And continuing to put himself in position where he can do that and seeking opportunities to do that, whether it's on a roll, driving a big off of a closeout, being great with his footwork so that he can get by the big on the closeout, are all things that we're focused on with him. And then, you know, he's playing the five a lot in this, but the reality is that that's probably where he'll play some. But he's got to be able to play the four and the five and guard both of those to continue to develop the right way.
Yabu is an interesting guy because he does have these skills, and we all have varying belief in those skills. I was talking to some people who think he just is not great at basketball. And, you know, I know he has that cult appeal, and I'm certainly not going to challenge that, but he does have problems out there, and I'm hoping that he can fix those problems and do the things that Brad Stevens is asking him to do. He can be another guy that really helps. He's a big guy, and the way he moves, I mean, he got that nickname Dancing Bear for a reason. And if he can get out there and work on his footwork and do those things, then he can be an impactful player for the Boston Celtics. But it's unclear how much longer he has in Boston, how much more time he has in Boston, because this is his last guaranteed year going into this season. He's only got two guaranteed years, and then next year is the team option. So the Celtics have Yabusele under contract for $2.6 million in this upcoming season. And then after that, it's a team option, a $3 million team option. Now, if he can develop and become a better player, then that's a cheap way to have a decent role player on your bench. If he can't and they need the room to either avoid a tax, avoid getting into the luxury tax, then he could become a cap casualty. He could become a tax casualty next year. So it's unclear how much more time Yabu has on the Celtics. He's got a lot of things to do. I think he can be very good. Worst case scenario for him, he goes back overseas and makes a ton of money playing back home. But I think he can become a decent player if he really kind of plays, first of all, in control, and he's got to just become a more knockdown shooter, and he's got to become a better defender for sure. So that's what we're hoping for from Yabu. The other guy, obviously, that we have here, the big guy, is Robert Williams, our first-round pick. He played about 7 minutes before bumping knees with somebody, and that knee contusion has held him out for the rest of Summer League so far. They're still trying to see if he can get into one of these last few games. Here's a quick bit from Brad Stevens on just the updates that he's getting.
Well, you know, I think, you know, obviously it's been well documented. The first practice wasn't so hot. But everything since then has been great. So we're encouraged by him, and he's working, you know, even though he's not playing, you know, he's cleared to do, like, stationary shooting and ball handling, and they've been spending 30 minutes every day working on the form of his shot, building that up and building it some depth to it, helping with his free throw accuracy, which is going to be really important, and then working his handle, because we'll ask him to handle the ball a lot, whether he's shooting from deep or not. So I'm really encouraged by his work, his attitude, picks things up very quickly. I've been really encouraged.
He said that literally Baines was defending him and literally moving him feet with his hands. Like, is that a good
learning? I didn't see that. I actually heard that. I know this. When Baines hits you, you can feel Baines. Yeah.
We'll get more on Aaron Baines in just a second. But the Celtics are working. I've seen them in practice with Robert Williams off to the side. He hasn't been practicing since the injury, but he's been doing drills, dribbling drills, all those shooting drills. They have him off to the side, just working. If they're encouraged, they're encouraged. We'll see what it means moving forward. The team has said that he is not going to play unless he's 100% healthy, and there's no point. Danny Ainge said today that they're not going to risk it. It would be nice if they could get him some reps in Summer League, but the most important thing is making sure that he's fully healthy for the regular season. There were reports about this this artery condition in his legs. That doesn't seem to be a big deal. Nobody's making that a big deal. I think everybody is aware of it. They've said that they're aware of it, and no one really seems to care much about it. He's getting treatment on it when it flares up, and that's it. I don't know what else to say about that. It doesn't seem to be a big deal. It hasn't held him out of anything. That's not been the reason for any of his missed time. It didn't seem to bother him much in college, I guess. So something we'll watch, I suppose, when it comes to moving forward and in the rigors of the NBA. Will it become a problem? I don't know. But the people who are involved with this and the doctors and the reporters that have talked to people, it doesn't seem like anybody's like making this a huge deal. So we'll see how he is health-wise. He seems to know what he needs to do in having conversations with him. He seems pretty forthright. He says all the right things. I know people want to make jokes about the being late and all of that. Okay, that happened. So far, none of that stuff has happened in Las Vegas. As far as I know, no one's said anything bad about his attitude. He's not missed any practices. He's not missed any team, anything. So, and he's not out partying. So it's just kind of, I think, hopefully we can get past that tardiness and all that other stuff and focus on the basketball. And hopefully he gets back to being healthy. We'll see. Maybe he'll play another Summer League game. The Celtics, as of right now, have two more. They are off on Wednesday. They play Thursday. And then if they win, they keep going. If they lose, they have a consolation game and they're done. So every team plays at least five games. If you win, if you get to the championship, then you play eight games. So we'll see what the rest of the Celtics Summer League schedule is like and whether Williams gets to play in any one of those games. Now to the Aaron Baines signing, because these guys love Aaron Baines. You just got to listen to Brad Stevens talk about how much he loves Baines. And well, I mean, look, we all love Baines, right? And so they're excited to have him back for various reasons on the court, but even off the court.
You know, I've said this before, his grit, his toughness, his physicality, you know, you need those things, and those things are contagious. And, you know, we've talked about that with him since he got here. And, you know, I always laugh. I tell the story of, we do warm-ups that everybody does, dynamic stretching where you're running up and down the court, and there's not a player in the world that likes it, right? It's just part of getting ready for practice. And Baines makes every day a race. Baines makes every day fun, and people look forward to it because of him. And I think that that kind of thing, that is an important thing as you move through an eight-month season.
Great to have Aaron Baines back. Danny Ainge today at practice called him the backbone of the defense. So, and he was just the most important defensive player for the Celtics. It's going to be really interesting to see how he's used this coming season, because you have Horford as probably your starting five, and I would anticipate Jaylen Brown as your starting four, and we'll call it a four because, you know, positionless basketball and everything. But then Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and Kyrie Irving will be your other starters. So I think that's one hell of a lineup. And that really gives you a lot of versatility. But in certain matchups, you can put Baines out there instead of one of those other guys. Maybe you bring Jaylen Brown off the bench, which is going to be really interesting next season, how they use these guys. One of those guys is going to have to come off the bench. So I think Aaron Baines will get in there against bigger teams, bigger players, and with more length, and he will be part of a defensive closing lineup. Who sits in that scenario? I don't know. Maybe it's Kyrie. Maybe you sit Kyrie when you need stops and you have Gordon Hayward bring the ball up. I mean, that's a lineup of Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Aaron Baines, and Al Horford can be one hell of a defensive lineup. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Celtics use this, because the Kyrie situation is a weird one. I really think it's weird. And at first, I was very dismissive of these reports about him wanting to play in New York. I thought that they were kind of old, and maybe, you know, he's a kid from New Jersey and all of that other stuff that makes you want to maybe play at home. But here he is in a great situation in Boston, and why would you want to leave this? But he left a multi-finalist in Cleveland, and you can chalk that up to LeBron, but he's going to be in a weird situation here, and just having these conversations with people, nobody that's directly connected to Kyrie, but people who have been talking, and just so many of them believe the story about him wanting to go to New York, and it's hard for me to kind of shake that off. I really do feel like there's a chance that he could just leave next season. And you wonder if they put a lineup out there in the closing minutes of the fourth quarter that doesn't involve him. What does that mean? What does that do? How does that make him feel? Is he going to become a problem? I have no idea. But these thoughts have been put in my head about him being sensitive and wanting to leave and just going to New York or whatever. And I don't want to believe them out of hand, but it's hard when you keep hearing those things from different people to not at least put some stock in that. So when tying it back to Aaron Baines, if you need to have Aaron Baines on the floor defensively, you have Horford, Baines, and then three other guys, three of the four of Kyrie, Tatum, Hayward, and Jaylen Brown. And who sits? Who sits? If it's a defensive situation, if you need to get a stop, you sit your worst defender, right? And that would be Kyrie. And quite honestly, they could do that and still have guys on the floor that can create their own shots. So Hayward can create his own shot. Tatum can create his own shot. Jaylen Brown is getting closer to being able to create his own shot on a more consistent basis. So that's going to be a very interesting scenario. I love having Aaron Baines back, but I'm wondering about that. And maybe when I get all the guys together, we can debate what happens in that situation. Who sits in that situation? It's going to be really interesting. Also interesting, the Marcus Smart situation. More reports that he's meeting with other teams, although I'm not sure what those meetings will give him. The Sacramento situation, again, still unresolved. There were reports that they were preparing an offer sheet. My understanding is that there has been internal debate in the Sacramento side about how much to offer him, because Marcus Smart is a restricted free agent. I've talked about it a million times here. The way you get a restricted free agent is to overpay a restricted free agent. You have to overpay a restricted free agent because the Celtics will match a reasonable offer for Marcus Smart. The Celtics are probably going to give him whatever that reasonable offer is. Marcus Smart wants more. And the way to get more is to get one of these teams to sign him to an offer sheet that's way too rich for Boston's blood. Sacramento has money, but do they want to spend the money that it will take to get Marcus Smart out of Boston? That will probably be something in the $14-15 million range. If they do give him that kind of money, then he is gone. There's no doubt about it. The Celtics can't afford it, and they shouldn't be able to. They shouldn't have to pay him that much. The market doesn't dictate that he should get that much right now. Marcus Smart's worth is up for some debate, but in this market, you don't have to pay Marcus Smart $15 million. And I think that's going to be the Kings' biggest problem. And there have been reports since then that said that, you know, the Kings aren't really that interested, that it was a little overblown. Who knows exactly where that is? I mean, there's middle ground. There's both sides that are kind of playing whatever through the media. Bottom line is Marcus Smart is running out of options, and if the Kings don't come through with an offer, then there's probably nothing that he can do other than sign the qualifying offer. The Celtics are going to give him some kind of offer at some point. We'll see what their debate is, how much they want to pay him and what they might offer him. Danny Ainge, again, calls him a top priority in practice. Brad Stevens, in his media availability, said that Marcus Smart is, you know, he one of his favorite guys, and let's listen in.
Text him having, you know, Marcus is, I think, pretty well aware of how I feel, and I saw him a couple days before free agency. He was in town for his camp. Saw him over at our new practice facility. You know, I've talked to him a bunch. I'm not involved in all the negotiation part of it and all the numbers part of it, and he knows that. And he also knows that we really want him back. So, you know, I know that our front office has worked hard to be communicative and go from there.
Restricted free agency is where a lot of feelings get hurt. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. Feelings get hurt because a team like the Celtics lets Marcus Smart go out there and field offers, and maybe he's not feeling, or somebody in his camp is not feeling, the Celtics are paying enough attention to him. He's going through serious issues with his mother and her cancer treatment. So there may be a heightened sensitivity there, which is completely understandable. That is a horrible thing for him to be dealing with at the same time as a restricted free agency, which can get ugly. Like I said, feelings get hurt. And teams can run the risk of severing a relationship with a player or hurting a relationship with a player by the way they handle a restricted free agency, because all they do is signal to other teams, we will match, we are willing to match. And Marcus Smart goes out there and teams say, look, we're not going to tie up money waiting for you, waiting for the Celtics to match. If you give Marcus Smart an offer sheet, that money's off the books for at least 2 days if the Celtics take their full time to match that offer. So we'll see how it goes. It's not going to be a pretty thing, and hopefully the relationship, whatever is strained, gets repaired. It didn't seem too combative when Marcus Smart showed up at Summer League, but it's not like they were sitting around hugging each other either. So who knows? That's always sensitive, and we'll see what happens with the rest of the negotiation. Who knows? It could happen at any time. And if Marcus Smart signs the qualifying offer, you know, in the end, that works out best financially for the Celtics. They get one more year of him at $6 million. That means they will very likely not touch the tax this year. And if they do not pay the tax this year, that's one more year they can put it off. And if they can put it off once in the next couple of years, remember, a couple of seasons from now, that salary cap is going to spike to about $116 million, maybe more, which pushes the luxury tax well above that. So if they can avoid paying the tax then that repeater tax gets pushed way out, because you pay the repeater tax if you are a taxpayer 3 of the previous 4 years. So they can set themselves up nicely to avoid an especially punitive repeater tax if Marcus Smart signs his qualifying offer. So maybe that's what the Celtics want. He goes into next summer as an unrestricted free agent. There's certainly a significant danger of him leaving. When you sign your qualifying offer, that's usually a sign that you're not entirely thrilled with the way things have gone. But who knows? After 1 year, and there are a ton of contracts out there that expire now, a bunch of these guys signed the one-year deals, it could be an overly crowded market again next season, and maybe it's in Marcus's best interest to come back at that point too. So we'll see how that all plays out. There's a lot to sort out, and like I said, it could happen at any time. I hope you've enjoyed this. Hope you've enjoyed listening to a little bit of Brad Stevens here on various topics. And I hope you've been enjoying my stuff on Boston.com, my coverage of the Celtics Summer League. I hope you've enjoyed Jay's coverage on The Athletic. Be sure to subscribe to The Athletic, because you can subscribe for Jay's stuff, and then you get The Athletic, the full Athletic. So it's cool, and Jay's doing great work there. He's really working hard, which is why we couldn't connect for this podcast. But this is, my little contribution to you guys, so you guys can get a podcast and you guys can hear a little bit of what's been going on here at Summer League. I hope this podcast has been good enough for you to subscribe. If you're not a subscriber, if this is your first time listening, welcome aboard. Subscribe. Go find Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. If you are a subscriber, give us that 5 stars. Give us that good review. That really helps us rise in the rankings, and it's a really big deal for us to rise in the rankings. It helps us out a lot. So do that and share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell your friends. They should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.